Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's November 17th, 2015. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos, California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our program is sponsored by Go Raw. 100% raw food, good for you, tastes good, and you can get it at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, organic section of Costco, or just go to goraw.com and...
Even Safeway.
There you go. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It is.
Tonight, we are going to deal with so many things. This week was a special week here.
Let them know what's our focus.
I will.
Oh, you're on your way. Okay. See?
That happens in a marriage. You just think you can read each other's minds, and then you realize you can't. Now, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this weekend, I was faced with mortality. Someone we know very well died. The day before, I'd been talking to him about our mortality and how much we have to be grateful for and how we have to spend as much time as possible in gratitude, because you never know what's going to happen the next minute. And that was the last conversation I had with him. And that's a good one. It was a good conversation. It's a good thing to be left with a human being, something as beautiful as that conversation we had.
And which is why we've chosen tonight to have our focus be, that's a good one. And we're going to see how many that's a good ones we can acquire.
Or even what is good. You know, what makes something a good one rather than an okay one, a mediocre one.
Or a lousy one.
Or a terrible one.
That's a terrible one. Oh, my God. Take it back. Yeah. Don't let them see you in it. Walk 10 steps in front of me. Oh, that's awful. You actually like that one, whatever it is that you're liking over there, that one idea, that one thought.
Or that one clothing. I think of so many times I go with a friend to shop for clothes and get their opinion, what looks good on me. And they'll come up with, oh, that's a good one. Take that one. That's a good one. Or, no, that doesn't do you any good whatsoever. Put it back on the rack.
Hey, I wore my new white chef's hat today in the kitchen making lunch, and I got a lot of good feedback.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you look like a chef in that hat.
As a matter of fact, speaking of chef, look who's here. Chef Mangiore Linguini. You want to enter the conversation? Of course I like to answer. I like the way you look in your white hat, so you look almost like me, but not quite. You know, I'm a look a little younger and a little better looking, but that's okay. You catch up, maybe. Not so much. Anyway, I love this topic of tonight. That's a good one. You think of the things you ate and you went and you said, oh, that's a good one. Or you said other things like, that's a good one, or it could have been a better one. That's the thing I'm like looking at, which is not only a good one, but what makes it a better. So there's a good, and then what makes it a better, and then what makes it the best. I think of what makes it the best is that it can't go any further. That's it. It's the best.
That's a good one.
You think it's so? You come over, see me. I make you a good one. I make a sandwich. I made a lady a grilled cheese sandwich today, and she liked it so much, and it was a good. Of course, I made a sandwich. I thought it was the chili. I was putting it on the hot dog, but it wasn't the chili. It was the tomato sauce. So the fella did not like the tomato sauce on his hot dog, and so he sent it back. But that's okay. I wiped it off the hot dog, and never mind. I'm not going to go there and tell you more about it.
I don't know about that one being a good one.
It's not so good.
You shouldn't tell that one to anybody. No, they'll take you out of that kitchen in 6 seconds.
But I was happy to be back in the kitchen because I felt like I belonged. When I walk into the kitchen and I feel the stove and I see the utensils and I know I got to make this food for everybody, and it makes me feel like a good. I'm happy to be there.
I understand. I'd say that's a good one.
Thank you, Chef. That is so great. And it reminded me just how good we've got it.
If I had one wish, if I had one wish, it would be to be free of this fighting on the run. 'Cause it's so wrong, and it could be so right. In my heart I know we're here to grow, love to give, to learn, to live together.
That's a good one.
You've got a smile, got a voice, got the gift of love. You've got it good. Don't forget how lucky you are. Darling, darling, use it to connect with everyone. Don't you know we're golden, covered up with mud? One day you'll see the truth that we all share, the same blood. It's just a good song. It's just very affirming, and it does it in a really sweet little playful way. And that was Jem, J-E-M. Got it good.
Got it good.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But I want to go back to this question you raised. What is the good? Is it just that it feels good? I mean, what's the criteria? It looks good, sounds good, makes good sense, good enough? Good so far? It's a huge concept, like it's one of the big trinity, truth, beauty, and goodness, and how we get there, and it has to do with morality and what's good, and that's a good one. I sent it out in my email, and this is what I had to say about it, because I think it's worth repeating. Have you heard a good one lately? I'm talking about an idea that changed your life and moved it closer to the good, the beautiful, and the true. And that's why we're focusing on finding a good one. So here's a good one for you that we've shared before. If we really knew, we'd be laughing. You think that's a good one?
I think that's a good one.
All right, so why is it a good one? So now let's get into it.
I don't know if it's subjective or objective good. But something is a good one when it resonates with me. is a resonation. It's a vibration that just, ding. It's good. It feels good. It sounds good. It looks good. It's a resonation. I don't know if you can define it. I think it becomes very subjective.
So like God, we can't really define good as we can't define love, but we know it when we feel it or sense it.
And what's good for you may not be good for someone else.
So can we say that it has an attribute of enhancing one's sense of being, of life?
That's a good one. You could say that.
You could say that.
Yeah, you could say that. You just did.
Uh-huh. Can I ask Professor Umbridge, would you say it that way? And let me think. Enhance one's quality of life, expand one's capacity for receiving and intaking and even digesting phenomena that will only add to the energetic exuberance that I would hope to express in my better moments. So in that sense, anything is good that kind of resuscitates being and vitalizes life without diminishing either of those aspects in anyone else.
That's a good one.
Oh, I thought so. Jolly good, actually. We would prefer to say it's a jolly good one. But it still means quite the same. And I believe that you are a good one. When I look at you, Rochelle, you are really a good one.
Well, thank you so much, Professor. I'm very honored. You think I'm a good one? Actually, I agree with you.
Really? So you think you're a good one?
I think I'm a good one, you know.
Yes, most everyone really is a good one if you catch them at the right moment. Many of us can appear like we're not good ones. In fact, we can appear to be downright bad ones. We would look at that one and say, oh, that's a bad one. You know, someone like a Hitler. I was thinking about that just the other day. I was thinking, well, is there redemption for someone like that? Or at least my image of what Hitler did or was or stood for and achieved and destroyed and all of that. Is he a good one? Is there a soul there that's redeemable? And to what extent does forgiveness go with so far as to see someone like that as a good one?
His dog might have thought he was a good one.
I suspect so. And Eva Braun, his lady friend, probably thought he was a good one, I suppose.
But they didn't come under his ideology.
Not the dog. Especially not the dog. The dog was independent, and the dog actually sided with neutrality and some of the Allied forces when it came right down to it.
I'm not sure that's a good one.
Uh-huh. Well, it was an attempt at a good one, and so let's hear for that.
The attempt itself is a good one.
Very good. Thank you. With that, I'll just bid you good night, and lovely program. I'll just sit back here and listen and see what other concoction you can drudge up with words. I love it.
That's a good one, drudging up a concoction with words. I think words are wonderful because they paint pictures that I like very much. I get to see things. And it's not so definitive that everyone else can have a different opinion of what it looks like as a result of the words that I use.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I love that about that. So here's a good one, I think. At least I'd like to put it up for assessing. Gratitude is always an appropriate response to life. Now, that's a challenge, isn't it? What if you're like on a slave ship and you're down there packed in unbelievable, horrible conditions?
I don't think the average human being, and I use the word average, not in a deprecating way. I mean it is the most of us on the planet. Don't think of that. Our circumstances definitely influence how we feel. If our circumstances are dreary and miserable and everything, we feel awful. And we can feel abused. We can feel down. It takes an exceptional person, not an average person, to overcome circumstances and realize they're more than those circumstances, that they're not someone who's feathered. They're more than that. There's something more going on, even in that situation. Jesus was beaten. He was
humiliated
and then killed in a very awful way. And he overcame that, but that was him. There may be more like him on the planet, but the thing is, that's not the average human being. So I think to see good, to find good in every circumstance of your life requires a level of evolution that most of us haven't achieved yet. And that's a good one.
was a good lot of ones, actually. There was a whole bunch of thoughts in there, but it reminded me of this notion that I had. We talk about unconditional love, and the hit I had on it is that unconditional love means that there is no condition in which love is not present.
That's a good one. I love that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can handle that.
It's a little different twist on it.
Well, I don't know that it's a different twist on it, because to me it's true. That's what makes it a good one for me in this instance. It's true.
So how do you know it's true?
It resonates with me. It resonates with my consciousness. My consciousness goes, yes. It goes, yes, yes.
Did you ever see Rochelle's consciousness go, yes, yes? It kind of jumps around the room. It goes, yes, and it bounds around the room. I'm watching it bound around the room now.
Actually, it doesn't make that sound, but it does bound.
Well, you don't hear it. See, it's That's a very true. Quiet sound. I actually hear the sound. You're too busy bouncing.
That's true.
And here we are, bouncing around on Inside Out, The Naked Truth, sponsored by Go Raw. Tonight we're looking at, that's a good one. Things in your life where you've said, that's a good one. Just take a second. I think this will be a good exercise that we don't do very often on this show, but I think tonight's a good night to do it. Let's just think about something that's a good one and stop and be grateful, I guess, or just go, wow, I'm glad for that good one. In wait to get to us. Wherever we touch, God emerges. No matter how brief or how tenuous, a smattering of God is still God. When our eyes engage, even if the best we can summon is a question, a possibility, a hope, she peeks through into time and space, out from behind the weathered vision of indifference. Even the excuse me from an innocent bump in a crowded bus offers God a tiny entry into the finite, and he willingly appears in the middle of the satisfaction of a job well done. But thank yous are God's specialty, where she really works her magic of appearing out of nowhere. She jumps into them like a desperate hitchhiker, finally catching a ride after waiting eternally for that instantaneous lift. Tears lubricate God's journey into our awareness, and honest laughter is like the bubbles that God can fly upon, retrieving him from the encrusted, parched rejections he sustains over and over, almost without end. That's the first half of the poem, In Their Midst, and I'll be sharing the second half sometime in the future. And that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. I like that a lot. So In Their Midst by you. When this person that we know died this week, his name is Glenn. Somebody at the, I would say, almost a requiem right after death, spoke about that on the tombstones you see the date you're born and then there's a dash and the date you die. Yeah, it was a poem and it was about the dash. Our life from the birth to death, that space in between the dash, is what it was all about. And I thought that was a good one. Someone dies and you realize that I stopped and examined my life. The dash between. I don't know when the last date will appear, but I know that I'm in the dash right now. I'm in it. And that's a good one. It's a good dash because I'm doing the best I can to savor, which is the best word I can come up with, to savor the moment that I'm in. And in that moment, so many things happen. I mean, the day is so full of things. I don't have to do anything for things to be there. The day tells me what to do. It compels me to do certain things. It says, do this, and I do it willingly. And the next thing I know, I'm in another thing because it asks me to do something else. And that's a good one.
So is that like a mad dash?
Well, it depends. With you, it could be a mad dash. With me, it's a mellow dash. No, that's not true. I can get crazy, too.
We were in the city, San Francisco, the other day. I don't know if it was exactly a mistake, but we sort of tried to get through downtown San Francisco to get our favorite restaurant that closed 3 years ago, just reopened. So we were going there. It was the first time we had been back. It's called Sam Woe's. It was famous because it was really funky, to say the least.
And the food was fun.
I loved the food, the best. And they reopened. Happy to give them a plug. They had a dumb waiter, so you'd hear these Chinese waiters yelling for whatever the Chinese version
of the waiter wasn't dumb. The way they brought the food up from the kitchen was on a dumb waiter.
You know, I'm glad you clarified that. That's a good one. I always was confused about that. I always kind of thought that the waiters were dumb.
No, it's just the thing they pull on the cord and it comes up like a little tray.
And I know why it's dumb waiter then. Doesn't say anything. Exactly. It's a good one.
It's a good one. They did have the most famous waiter in San Francisco. His name was Edsel Ford Fong. Written up several times. The waiter. Rudest waiter in San Francisco for sure.
I remember that time when I went there and he put a tray of chopsticks that had just been washed. It was steam coming off of a big tray of them. Mm-hmm. Down he slammed it in front of me, and he threw a towel at me, and he said, you wipe.
And you were a customer.
Right.
And you did.
I'm still wiping him. By the way, this is a little of that wonderful song about the dash. It's by Linda Ellis. And it goes, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said that what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. And it goes on. It's a sweet little
poem. That's a good one. I think the guy read that poem. Yes.
At our friend's funeral.
Yes.
I was surprisingly sad. I cried. Whenever he comes to mind, tears come to my eyes.
Me too.
I wrote a blog about this, that it was a case of being humbled. Because I realized that a person's living presence is so much more important than his actions or things that I might judge about his actions. Talk about insignificance. With his passing, I realized that he was just a wonderful presence. He always had a twinkle in his eye, and he actually said to me one day, "What's there to fear?" The way he went out was, in many ways, kind of beautiful. He was alive, talking. I made him a bockwurst the day before for lunch. As a matter of fact, I remember going into the refrigerator to make sure I had a bockwurst. Bockwurst.
What is a bockwurst?
He liked bockwurst. I'd never heard of a bockwurst, but it's kind of this slimy, grayish thing. I never tasted one of these bockwursts. But in his honor today, I cut up a little, grilled it up, and tasted it. And it was pretty tasty.
Well, that's a good one.
A little spicy, but now we have in the freezer several packages of bockwurst. He's the only one who ever eats it. I think we should cook him up and bring him to the memorial and have everybody have a bockwurst.
Have a communion honor. With bockwurst.
A bockwurst communion.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I would like to invite one of our guests tonight. We have several here, Rochelle. Who would you like to have us talk to tonight?
Let them choose.
Okay. It was me. I was the one picked to choose myself because I had something so much to say. Oh, this is Professor Schnitzel. They call me. It's not my real name, but Schnitzel works for me because it's like Venus, and I'm always happy to be associated with Venus Schnitzel because the Venus Schnitzels are good ones. They're good to eat, and I don't know if they taste like the Bockwurst, but when you said Bockwurst, I immediately thought of the Venus Schnitzel. But I would like to say that the goodness that people experience with each other is when they send each other such a good feeling of receiving each other and respect for each other and being kind to each other and challenging each other and being forthright with each other and being clear and lively and laughing with each other. This is good stuff. This is all good things. You have to add that up. It's more than one thing. It's good things in plural. But it still is a good thing, even though you put it in one folder, because you could go to the folder and you'd be able to find the files of all the good things that you just experienced.
Well, that's a good one, Professor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good because if you're not sure what's a good thing, you have some landmarks like what's it going to taste like and what's it going to feel it look like and how will I know it when I see it and it's not a bad thing in disguise as a goat in sheep's clothing.
Oh, okay. Goat in sheep's clothing. All right. Most of the goats around here don't need to wear sheep's clothing.
Thank you, Professor. I came in yesterday and these deer bounded away from me. I'm so grateful to live in a place where the deer bound away from me in the car. But when I walked by a deer the other day, it was about 4 feet from me. She or he kind of looked at me and we looked at each other and I just kept walking and it kind of looked at me and went back to
eating. The nice thing about deer is you can tell their gender just by looking at their face.
Really?
Yeah, because males have horns and females don't.
Well, there's a point in which they don't have horns, isn't it, when they're pre-puberty?
Really babies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then you have to look at another end of them.
Uh-huh. I don't know if that would be such a good one. Uh-oh. We've got a call coming in from submarine. What is it? You're down in the submarine?
Yeah, hi, this is Barney. I was back in the submarine here, and I was trying to see if I could find some good ones. They had me down here in the boiler room and to see if the boilers are good ones, because they really depend on the boilers boiling up the energy. But I was hoping that I would be able to find a better energy source that would be a better one than just a good one, like coal or fire and wood and stuff like that. So I was recommended to them that they look in magnetism. That would be a good one, for sure, a good energy source.
It is a good one. Did you find out?
I found out that the magnetism is the energy of the future that is going to be such a better energy for us because it doesn't leave a mess in its wake. Doesn't leave trash and dust and particles and those nuclear waste kind of toxic stuff in it. Yeah, magnetism is going to be good. But you think about it, it makes sense. This is a good one now. Stay with me. Because here you have these two magnets. Let's say if you put the one end that doesn't like the other end and you kind of push them toward each other, you notice they resist each other.
Big time.
Yeah, that's right. So imagine turning that resistance into power. I mean, how difficult is that to imagine? Because all power is based upon some kind of resistance. You know, there's this fighting. Fire. All the energy that we use up is fire-based. It's how we get there, or heat-based at least. But if you have magnetism, oh boy, that'll be a good one for sure.
That is a good one. I need to explore it a lot further, you know, to understand what it is you're talking about. But I do know there's power in attraction, which is magnetic. Attraction, when one is attracted to something, it is a very powerful experience. When you think of good, I'm more attracted to good than to bad. Like I'm more attracted to yummy, juicy food than to rotten, yucky food.
Yeah, I hate
we're
that
attracted
rotten, yucky
food. To good. And the good that is juicy, not the good that's bland and boring. Some people think of it as good because it does nothing. But that's not good. Good has a certain attraction to it.
Can good be boring? Now, see, that's something I haven't even considered.
Can good be boring? Not for me.
Well, let's think about that just for a minute. And while we're thinking, though, let's kind of lean in toward the light, because that's where the good is to be found.
Winter is the oldest season. Stretching out and reaching, faithful as the morning glow. Carry nothing but what you must.
Lead it toward the light.
Let it go, shake up the dirt. Today is now, tomorrow beckons. Keep practicing resurrection. The shadows of this world will say, there's no hope, why try anyway? Large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light. Rivers bend and open wide. Don't just walk where you can fly. When justice seems in short supply. The shadows of this world will say, there's no hope, why try anyway? Every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light.
And when forgiveness is hard to find, help me to at least be kind. Thank you, Carrie Newcomer, for that song, Lean In Toward the Light. Good advice. I think we're getting a lot of good advice from these gals so far. Jen, reminding us we really got it good. If you're sitting here listening to this radio right now and you're not in pain, then you got it good. Now, let's imagine, though, that you know someone who you really care about is in pain, or you are grieving the loss of someone, like, for example, the man who just died has two young daughters. They're grieving. But the beauty of reality that I appreciate so much is that everything that happens can be recycled into the good, the beautiful, and the true, and can be used to advance evolution, which means to advance our capacity to find union in ever more and more diversity, on and on and on. And with each finding union moment out of that which appeared to be separated, there is a wonderful gift that the universe has given us, and that is some version of orgasm.
That's a really good one.
Isn't it? Think about your last orgasm. Was it a good one?
It's always a good one.
Well, see, there
That's
you go.
It's always different, but it's always good.
Yeah.
When you first started talking about grieving, I realized that the good thing about grieving is we grieved because we cared, because we love. We loved and we lost something, and that's the grief. If we hadn't loved, if we hadn't cared, we wouldn't be grieving. And so grief is an expression of, or the truth of, having loved well. And the object of that love is no longer available to us. But the fact that we could love enough to grieve, to me, is a very wonderful and good thing, that we love enough to grieve.
It's probably why Yeshua said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted."
Yes.
In other words, here you have a grief, here you have a loss. If it gets dammed up and you don't mourn the loss, you don't allow the sadness to take you over and to surrender to it, but you resist it and you don't mourn it, then you are in some way denying yourself the benefit of being comforted. And isn't comfort what we need when we're in the state of mourning and value and appreciate? Even if it's people bringing us food, comfort food.
The wife of this man has been inundated with food. She has more food than she could ever eat. Now she's going to share it with other people. In certain religions, there's the time of mourning. You have a certain period of time in which you mourn, and you sit in the quiet, and you don't do any everyday things. You just sit in the quiet where you can sit with your thoughts. You can sit in prayer, worship, whatever. In that time, people do bring you food. And at the end of the time, there's all this food, and usually what happens is you open your doors and let people come in and eat it, which is really a good one.
Exactly. It reminds me, I was looking up Kaddish. Yes, boy, you'd think a Jew I would be able to say it correctly, but then I was not a good one. What can I tell you?
Well, I don't know what a good one, or that's a good one, or not a good one in that terms of that. Then you have to have a whole bunch of criteria. Like, did you do this? Did you go to this? Did you learn that? Did you say this? Did you not say this? I don't know if that's what makes you a good this or a good that. All the rules. There's something in our hearts that are bigger than those rules and more important than them. And if we follow that heart and open ourselves up to others, that's a good one.
In Judaism, when someone dies, you say the Kaddish. As a boy growing up, of course, I heard it a lot. And I only recently looked for the translation, and it's so interesting what I found. Let me share this with you, the Kaddish in English. May his great name grow exalted and sanctified in the world that he created as he willed. May he give reign to his kingship in your lifetimes and in your days, and in the lifetimes of the entire family of Israel, swiftly and soon. And may his great name be blessed forever and ever. Blessed, praised, glorified, exalted, extolled, blessed is he beyond any blessing and song. Amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life upon us and upon all Israel. He who makes peace in his heights, may he make peace upon us, upon all of Israel. Amen.
Amen. Some people could think that was a particular place, but It isn't a particular place.
It's a state of consciousness.
It's a state of consciousness, yeah.
When I read that, I went to look up the word Israel to see if it spoke to that, and I didn't find any references in particular, but certainly the way I would prefer to interpret it, Israel, we are the collective body of being. Israel, the people are, and we are all that.
And one would think that all the people who live there would wake up one day and realize that they're of the same blood in many ways. It's about time to kiss and make up, so to speak. But, you know, I was thinking about, it's a good one, you know, and I realized it's like sifting for gold to find the good one. You have all this mud, dirt. People go into these streams and they have these
sluices.
But they have these sifters, these, what do you call it?
Yeah. Sifter thingies.
No, yeah, but what they're made of. They're made of mesh. Not mesh, it's called something else.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Tell me what it is.
I don't know. Go on. So
anyway,
they're with the meshy
things. And
they
sift through all the dirt and everything, and what stays in this pan is the gold. So the dirt goes away, and what's left is the good one. If you sift it, that's what happens. You get the good one.
Oh, we're talking about the Kaddish rabbi. I'm sure you'd like to say something about that. Well, of course, I'd like to say something about the Kaddish. I've said the Kaddish many times in my life. It's always with a feeling of sadness. I think that's why we celebrate and praise the Creator during those moments, to balance out the deep sadness we may be feeling, and the acknowledgement that even in the face of death, there is the greatness, the holiness, the ongoingness of the Creator and all being. Even in this moment where it feels like there is a termination of life, of existence, you'll find that it is actually yet another opening into the awareness that all is God, all is good, all is being. They're not going to get rid of you. No matter what form you take, once you're here in the universe, you're a keeper. They all say right away, as soon as you come in, they all go, that's a good one.
You said something, Rabbi, that I really appreciated when you said it's an opening into God, which I would think is like an opening into the infinite, opening into the allness, opening into the mystery, which is beyond thought, which is beyond definition, which is beyond that, which is material. Everything that happens to us gives us an opportunity to open into that space. And when you said that, it really affirmed that for me, and I really appreciate it, so thank you.
Thank you. It was a good one. I want to thank my friend Byron, because he said a really good one today, and part of a book he's doing on the nature of personality as it relates to dualism versus non-dualism and other funny things.
That's a good one.
But he said this, it holds the space. It lets infinitude take the best seat at the feast of experience.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's fun.
Yeah, I like that. The best seat at the feast of experience. Yeah, and it is a feast.
And the other thing I've been reading, I was mentioning to you all just last week, I'm rereading Communion with God, this whole notion that the feast is prepared, but the table fills the entire room. So how are we to partake of and eat the feast? That's why this illusion is created, this sense of separation, so that we can be whole. Because if we didn't have this sort of facsimile of a perspective, the illusionary point of view, then I am not that, I wouldn't be able to behold it. And I love the term behold something, because you're saying be and you're saying hold. And when you think of those two phenomena and you're being and you're holding yourself or whomever or the person in this case that we're grieving for and their family, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing.
That's a good one.
Speaking of a good thing in this person, when I was thinking about this person who's died, I thought of this song because it kind of captures a lot of the spirit of our friend and also helps us appreciate what one man can do. This is by John Denver.
I suppose that there are those who will say he had it easy, had it made in fact, before he'd even begun. But they don't know the things I know. I was always with him. It may sound strange, we were more than friends. It's hard to tell the truth when no one wants to listen, when no one really cares what's going on. And it's hard to stand alone when you need someone beside you. Your spirit, your faith must be strong. What one man can do is dream. What one man can do is love. What one man can do is change the world and make it young again. Here you see what one man can do. as shaded as his eyes might be. That's how bright his mind is. That's how strong his love for you and me. A friend to all the universe, grandfather of the future, everything that I would like to be. What one man can do is dream. What one man can do is love. What one man can do is change the world and make it new again. Here you see what one man can do. What one man can do is dream. What one man can do is love. What one man can do is change the world and make it work again. Here you see what one man can do.
Made me cry. That's a good one.
He wrote that about Buckminster Fuller. For those of you who don't know who Buckminster Fuller is, or Bucky Fuller as he was often called, he was an architect who created, designed the geodesic dome, and I think he was the one who really comprehended the importance of the structure of three triangles used in building that resonates so with the essential trinity of existence. The Urantia book talks about Trinity quite a lot, and it says it was kind of a cosmic inevitability, because if you have an all-beingness, oneness, that is also absolute love and absolute will, well, what's it going to do?
That's a good one.
It's got to give forth all of that absoluteness, which means that it would essentially project the mirror image of itself, filling up everything, all love. But in that projection of self, it has now become a relationship. And that relationship is the third person of the Trinity. The third person is the embodiment of that which is being shared by the source and its full extension of its source into its equal mate, partner. Thus you have the pattern for male-femaleness established throughout all existence. It's like the prototype of everything, which goes back to why three is the minimum you need to sit on a stool.
That's a good one.
It is.
I have married lots of people, as you know, Errol, and every one of them I've told that to.
I was number 43, by the way.
No. I mean, I appreciated their weddings. That's a good one. I usually gave them lots of counsel before I married them and always told them that. It's not about him taking care of you, or you taking care of him. It's about you taking care of that which you have created, which is the relationship. And that's the third person. He, she, create the relationship. And that's the Trinity. When you think about that, I'm willing to forego me for the relationship, because the relationship is the sum and substance of me and the other. So much more fulfilling than just taking care of me.
That's a good one. But to the separated self, it's doing all it can to keep itself as itself by being separate from everything else. It can look scary, because it can look like ego annihilation, which in fact
it is. That's a good one. But freedom lies at the end of that one.
Yeah, that's the key here. If you're identified with your ego, you're identified with limitation. That's the nature of the ego pattern, that you create an identity that is an identity by virtue of where its limits are. It's not that over there. As I shared with my friend Byron, who wrote this book, and I shared that line with him, I had this image that we are distinctly who we are, not by the limitations and boundaries that we put up, but by our character, the nature of our character,
And I used the example, we lived in Marin County. Marin County is 22 little towns. If you looked at it from above, it looks like one big town.
The earth does the same thing, you know, when you look at it from above.
But,
go ahead.
But anyone who's ever been to Marin knows that the character of each community is different. Like Larkspur is not like San Rafael, and Fairfax is not like Mill Valley, let alone Dogtown, population of 10. Remember?
Yes, I do remember.
It's one of the 22. Each has its own character. That's a good metaphor, a good way of understanding how we are distinctive, but we are not really separate in the universe. So come on down to Marin County. Angels and beings from all over the universe, they come visit Marin County on a regular basis to get their reminder.
I think the same thing is true with each human being, because look at the parts of us. I mean, they're all unique and different, and yet they're all pumping out the stuff to make that individual in which they are unique and special and part of the whole. Each part leads to a part that's part of the whole.
That's a good one. It reminds me of a concept in integral philosophy where they talk about nested hierarchies. There was a reaction in postmodernism to the hierarchical structures that came about beginning the Industrial Revolution, you know, kings and popes and everybody, hierarchies and the patriarchies and all that. And yet we're reminded, Ken Wilber being one of the reminders, guys, that there are nested hierarchies. An atom inside a molecule inside a tissue inside a monkey, etc. But they're nested hierarchies, and we're selling those tonight.
No, we are not. That may be a good one, but it's not a true one.
Oh, okay. Well, so let's kind of review where we've been. We've
had why?
Why?
Why are we reviewing? Are we giving a class or something?
So I can refresh my mind.
Oh, that's a good one. If you have to refresh your mind, it's a good one, because your mind can get muddy.
Not only that, when it's not fresh, it's stinky.
Oh, so, your mind never stinks.
Yeah, well, you don't live inside it. You don't know.
You don't live inside your mind either. Your mind lives inside you.
Exactly. That's where it stinks the most.
Oh, God, that's a good one.
But you know the good news is? It stinks to high heaven. And that makes it good. So it's not just the smell that's kind of dangling out there and kind of a hell-bent for nothing. It's a smell that goes up to heaven, high heaven.
Good. That's the way it erases it from the earth.
That's right.
So none of us have to deal with it.
So along with that toxic deodorant smell, get rid of cream that we're offering, we're going to have a special tickets for high heaven. This is not your low heaven. This is not your middle in heaven. This is the high heaven.
I think it's interesting that in this theology that has come about in our lifetime, we have like the bad things are below, the good things are above, and the middle stuff is all this stuff.
And speaking of stuff, we have to say goodnight.
Oh, good night, Gracie.
So what do we have to remember, Rochelle?
We have to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.